Now you can hear me. You couldn't hear me before. Well, anyways, I just wasted all my time. You can hear me? Okay. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, it's like the nature of the mind. If it likes something, you'll go back to it. Yeah? Like we had this German fella. He stayed with us for 8 months in the monastery in Kelmscott. And he sort of fell in love with Vegemite. Vegemite. So every morning, because he liked it so much, he had Vegemite for breakfast. And in the pantry there was muesli, there was Milo, there was cheese, there was bread, there was everything, you know. But he always went back to the Vegemite because he found some sort of like pleasure and happiness in it. And he didn't have to force his mind to do that. It sort of like happened naturally. And that's how our mind works. You know, we gravitate to things which make us feel good naturally. And as a meditator, teachers try to let you know what things to look out for. And one of the things that you can look out for when you're meditating is that, you know, that sense of peace, that sense of stillness, being in the present moment. And it always couples with like a sense of like being nice, you know, you're enjoying it, there's something good about it, and you can actually feel it and understand it. And it's just like a lot of you are beginners, one of the things that may be difficult for you is to actually see what peace or what stillness is, because you are bringing your world with you to the meditation center. Your life with you to the meditation center, you know, whether you're a university student, a mother, a father, you have your responsibilities. And yeah, basically just throughout your life, you've been filling up your mind with all these things. So in a sense, your mind is cluttered. So when you sit down, all you see is like a lot of clutter within your own mind. You know the ones that put the hands up that this is your first meditation? Have you ever meditated before? You meditated before. So you know what I'm saying, right? Yeah. And that happens to a lot of people, you know. If you ask the monks here, they probably say the same thing, you know, when they first started to meditate. The minds are like all over the place. And you may think, oh, I think one of the thoughts that people get is, oh, my mind is like this. It can never change. And if you think like that, then, you know, you end up giving up on the meditation practice. So, you know, I'm here to tell you that if you put the effort in, then eventually the mind will change. And in order to do that, you sort of like, you get to a point where you can start seeing through the clutter and you'll start to see a little bit more the clarity of the mind. Just like moments of stillness, like moments of peace. And you see it, you understand it. Because there's a lack of like thoughts, there's a lack of like sleepiness, there's a lack of anger, there's a lack of greed. And there's these like moments of like purity of mind arises. And these may not last for a very long time, but I think we know intuitively that is actually a good place to be. And the more you meditate, the more your mind will start seeing, you know, the stillness and the quietness and the peace. And then it'll start to get a more of an understanding what this peace and stillness means. And what it means is, it means like this stillness and peace. It's a place where you feel, you know, safe. It's a place where you feel like comfortable. It's a place where you feel, you know, confident. It's a place where you feel like you're in your own skin, you know, in this moment, in this stillness. And Yeah, there's a beauty about it, which always brings us back to that experience. And that's all meditation is always going back to that place of quietness, of stillness, and allowing that to build and get stronger. And this you know, is sort of like, you know, I've been a monk for 15 years, and what I was taught 15 years ago is the same thing that I get taught today. It's not like, oh, you become a monk the first year, and then the fifth year you get a different teaching, and then the seventh year you get another teaching, and then the tenth year you get a different teaching, because you're sort of like climbing the ladder and you're learning different things and getting different insights. It doesn't work like that. The teachings that we get are the same at the beginning, same after 15 years. Ajahn Brahm saying, making peace, being kind, being gentle. Making peace, being kind, being gentle. That's all he says, like for 15 years. But you can see, it's such a simple teaching, but at the same time, it's very hard to execute. And that's half of the battle that we like sort of get ourselves into as meditators, is to just put ourselves on that meditation cushion and just being able to just set our minds in the present moment, being still. And hopefully over the years of like training and conditioning, our minds can stay there a little bit longer. And there's also all sorts of like different tricks and techniques that that the monks teach, and one of them is the walking meditation. Yeah, I need someone to demo. Can you demo walking? Yeah, I need somebody to demo what walking meditation is. So I'll commentate. So you got to look peaceful and still like a monk does. You got to wear brown robes and shave your hair off in order to walk meditation. So basically what he's doing is... This is the first time I've ever done this. So he's just walking up and just keeping his head down, just looking forward. So you're not looking like at the bricks or at the ceiling or at each other, but you're just looking ahead so you don't get distracted. And you just walk at your own pace. Yeah. So you're not running, you're not walking really slow. You're just doing it naturally. Like say you're just taking a stroll, you know, in the woods, just having a look around. So yeah, that's all you do. Yeah? And you do that, you just be mindful of the present moment. So if you put yourself in that situation, you can sit down now. Thank you very much. You can, so in that situation, you can know that your body's moving. Like your arms are, like the movements of your arms or even in your legs. And you can feel like the sensation of your feet touching the ground. You can feel your feet like move, you know, coming off the ground. And just like the movement of the body. You can compare it to like yoga. You know, when people do yoga, they have to focus on the stretch or whatever they do for like 10 seconds. And it's sort of like the same idea with the walking meditation, is to have something to put our minds on. That's what it basically is, to have something to put your mind on. So that's how walking meditation can help us. And then once you want to, if you want to like make things a lot more simpler, then you can just take that attention and just focus on one point of the body. And that's usually the sensations of the feet. So when you step forward, you can just feel your feet like touching the ground. And then when you take another step, you feel your feet, you know, touching the ground. And that exercise allows you to bring your mind into the present moment. And, you know, as you all know, it's beautiful to be in the present moment, because you're not thinking about the future, or you're not thinking about the past, or, you know, things like that, which, you know, distract and cloud the mind. And it is true, you know, the more we think, the more unhappy we become. And the less we think, the more happier we become. From how I understand things, it just basically works on the energies of our minds. And even in the suttas, it did say that there's this, the Buddha would call it like piti sukha, which is like you've got the gradual path, and somewhere in the middle, you like develop piti sukha, and that's like the energy and the happiness of the mind, and that comes from like being able to just calm your mind down and just make it still. So the more still your mind can be, the more mental happiness you'll have. So the less thoughts you have, the more happier you become. The more thinking, the more you think, the more unhappier you become. The more you think, you start to become depressed. And a lot of times we just think about things which we make up things in our own minds. We make up storylines about people that we don't like, or situations that we've been in or that we dislike. And you can see that we're wasting a lot of our mental energy on these things, and they do create us, you know, as the Buddha said, you know, suffering. And, you know, suffering, yeah. So suffering is created by our own minds. And that's what the Buddha said, you know, the mind is like the forerunner of all things. So, we create the world around us. And the great example is like monks, we live in a monastery, right? And the monastery always stays the same. The buildings always look the same. The people that come to feed us, they're all the same. My room is the same. The weather changes a little bit. But some days you like it, some days you don't. And it's not the actual physical environment or the people. Well, sometimes it's the people. But it's not the physical. Yeah, let's be real, right? Sometimes it's not the physical environment that you're living in, but it's your own mind projecting whether you're in a happy place or not. So once we start to understand that a lot of our troubles come from within, then we can work on our mental states. And that's what meditation is about as well, to be able to just sit down and just look at our own minds to actually see what our troubles are. And secondly, to know that they are causing us trouble. I think a lot of people, they don't think they have a problem, so they, you know, they can't fix it, and that's also a part of being somebody who meditates, is to honestly look at your own mind, and see whether your way of thinking or what you're thinking about is causing you happiness or unhappiness. And sometimes we may not know what is causing us happiness or what is causing us unhappiness, but that's why we can always look at, you know, the Buddhist teachings, or teachers like Ajahn Brahm or Ajahn Bhamali and things like that, you know, just to point out how our own minds create suffering for us. Yeah. And that's the beautiful thing about the meditation practice. After a while, you get to see what creates suffering for yourself and what doesn't. And when you can learn how to do that, then you know what to let go of. At the end of the day, it's about letting go as well. This overused word. But it's a lovely word, because if you can relate this word into your actual experience of letting go, you can understand that it's a very powerful thing. And it basically is not, it's having, learning that skill to not hold on to anything which makes us suffer. Yeah, which makes us unhappy. And, yeah. It's just so funny sometimes, you know, when we get angry or upset at somebody, it's not that we're angry and upset about them for 1 second, but if we're angry and upset about them for a day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, and it goes on for a long time. And why is that? It's because we're actually holding on to something. That's probably like the definition of holding on to something. If you're keeping that problem or whatever you're going through inside for a long period of time, then you're holding on to something. But if some problems that happen during your day, somebody said something that upset you, or you may have done something that wasn't correct, then if you can forget about it, like quickly, then you're not holding on to it. You're actually letting go. So, yeah. So yeah, just look at that part of your mind. What are you holding on to? I'm sure you know, we're not perfect human beings. Each and every one of us, we have some sort of problem, and we probably, some of us have brought those problems into the meditation retreat. And sometimes, you know, these problems, we blame other people. Yeah, okay, they may have triggered our emotional instability, but it's really up to us not to hold on to it. And once we know that once we start to realize that this holding on to things is actually causing us the problem, then we can have the courage to let it go. And then what happens when you let go? You feel free. There's a certain sense of like relief, like a burden has been lifted off your shoulders. That's what it actually feels like. You know, I'm not perfect. I get caught up in drama in my own head, and it just sucks up a lot of your energy. But when I let it go, like, there's an actual freedom there. And I think to myself, why didn't I do this earlier? And just time and time again, yeah, you come across lessons in life that teach you how to let go. You let go and you start to feel and experience the wisdom of letting go. You start to have more trust and faith in it, that if you can let go more, then you'll be a lot more happy. And Ajahn Chah would say, you know, if you can let go, you get let go a little, you get a little bit of happiness. Yeah? If you let go a lot, you get a lot of happiness. If you let go completely, then you become a monk. You let go completely, you have complete happiness. Simple, beautiful teachings like that. These teachings are like so simple, beautiful. And it is so true. It's not we're becoming like insensitive people, but we're becoming people that's, you know, protecting our own minds. And we do live in a world of instability. We don't really know what's going to happen the next day or what's going to happen in the future, whether our husband's going to stay with us, whether our wife is going to stay with us, whether me living in Kelmscott, if that's going to work. Don't know if I'm going to get enough support from Ajahn Brahm to build my mansion. No, I don't want a mansion. So everything out there, you don't know what's going on. It's so unstable. So instead of like living for the future and worrying about it, we live for the moment. And I live for this moment just to be, if I feel good and feel happy, then I know that the moment that I'm living in is a good moment. And that's all I need, you know, that's all I really need. I don't really care what happens in like 5 years, 10 years time. You know, there's no point worrying about things like that. Obviously, as a monk, you get looked after and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I get fed a roof over my head and all those kinds of things. But I'm sure, you know, as people living out in the world, you get to a point where you're like financially stable, you're in a good, you know, relationships and things like that. Then start to live life for each and every day in this moment and start to feel good and happy about yourself and not worry about what's going to happen, you know, in the future. Because it is true, you know, you don't know what's going to actually happen. You know, after this, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, yeah, I do sort of know, but I don't know, you know? So you're just living for the day and making sure that the situation you're in is a good one. And then I think everything will take care of itself. It's like this beautiful saying, like, within, like, monastics, like, everything will just take care of itself if you can. If you can be like good right now. Yeah. It's like Ajahn Brahm would say, if you want to take care of the future, you take care of the present moment, right? Because your present moment will eventually be your future. So yeah. So just live for now. Basically, live for now, meditate for now. Now is where you find stillness, now is where you find peace, now is where you find happiness. Not in the future, not in the past. And just understand that, yeah, it's just a little bit of training that we have to do. And just being able to have that mindfulness to just look, because all the happiness, all the wisdom, all the joys and whatever you're looking for is not in this building, is not coming from the teacher, it's actually coming from your own mind. And that's the beautiful thing, you know, about, you know, this practice is like you learn how to develop like an independence, in a sense where, you know, you don't have to rely on your teacher for all these teachings about how to become peaceful and still and all that kind of stuff, because you found that out for yourself. Yeah, and in a sense you become like spiritually independent, which is a nice thing actually. You know, we have to, yeah. So that comes through time and just through learning all of that, you know, that Dhamma that you have in your own mind, basically. Yeah, good. What? Okay. Any comments, questions, complaints? No. Okay. Tired? Are you guys tired? Had a long week. Huh? Yeah, I've actually been quite busy, actually, because I had a Chittapalo, he's a good friend of mine. He lives in Serpentine, Bodhinyana Monastery. So he's visiting me in Kelmscott, and we've just been chatting quite a bit. So, yeah, it's been kind of busy, and we got some renovation work to do. Yeah, so make the place a little bit more comfortable for the monks. Just we're actually making a shower so the monks can clean themselves. Yeah, so yeah, it's been a bit busy, but you know, you never know. It's good to come here. I can also meditate a little bit with you guys. And just basically, yeah. It's not a hard thing, you know. I don't want to put pressure on you guys, and it's a natural thing, yeah? Like, you don't need to be strict, right? You see the timetable? You don't need to follow the timetable. I think when I went to the retreat, like one of my earlier retreats, it's like, you have to wake up at 5:30. Oh no, I don't want to wake up at 5:30. That's too early. So yeah, you don't have to. You don't have to. The schedule's there for people who would like to follow the schedule and get up early and things like that. But if you want to, you don't have to follow that schedule. If you want to sleep in, you can. So just listen to your body, yeah? And listen to your mind, yeah? Yeah. Because meditation is supposed to be easy. And, the environment, yeah, it's supposed to be easy, you know? So everybody has different timetables, and that's, you know? So, yeah. So don't allow one timetable to dictate everybody's timetable, because everybody has their own timetable. Yeah. Okay. We'll do guided meditation. So my mother's here. She's spying on me, making sure I say the right things. Over there. Asian lady. Okay, we'll do guided meditation for like half an hour. And then we can go to bed or whatever. So you dim the lights, please. Yeah. So, just sit down and just leave your mind where it is. Just leave everything alone. It is true when Ajahn Brahm says, sit down and do nothing. So we're just sitting down, we're doing nothing, not wanting the mind to be peaceful, not wanting the mind to stop thinking. We're not asking for the mind for anything, but instead we're just sitting down and we're doing nothing. Allowing the mind to be the mind. So over the course of the weekend, if you can just spend moments of your day just sitting quietly like this. Doesn't have to be for like 2 hours or 1 hour. You can just go for 15, 20, 30 minutes. Not to put pressure on yourself, but instead just allowing it to happen naturally, peacefully, in a calm manner, in a normal manner. So when we're meditating, we're just knowing what's happening right now. Just knowing the moment for what it is, for what it is. If your mind is tired, then just know that your mind is tired. If your mind is thinking, then just know that your mind is thinking. As we're knowing what's happening, we're just doing it with a calming outlook or calming attitude. So when you meditate, you actually don't make peace, but peace and stillness will start to reveal itself. So when you're sitting down, sometimes having an object of meditation can be helpful. It's kind of nice actually, kind of relaxing, just to put your mind on one thing. And the one thing that every monk talks about, every nun talks about, is the breath. So you can just lightly, gently put your attention on your breathing. Not forcing the mind, not pushing the mind. But only if the mind wants to, just watch the breath go in and watch the breath go out. You know, when you're meditating and you have an object in mind, you know that you're watching it correctly when your mind starts to relax even more, when your mind starts to become calmer. That's when you know that you're watching the object of the breath properly. But if you're watching the breath and you're becoming more agitated, getting more angry, frustrated, then you're not doing something right. So when we're meditating, we have to come to an understanding that we can't always have peace, stillness, and all those lovely, lovely, lovely things that we think about. Because so our minds will be thinking or not. But the more we sit, the more of the mind we get to see. And then we'll start to see the mind does get still, the mind gets peaceful. And that's how meditation, that's the journey of meditation that we go through. Just being able to sit down and allow those peaceful states of mind to just arise naturally.